May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building. The calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Today's reading from the Psalms is from Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall continually be in my mouth. My life makes its boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt God's name together. I sought the Lord, who answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to God and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. The poor cried out, and the Lord heard, and save them out of all their troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
They came to Jericho as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's good to be with you today, friends, as I seek to bring something of God's essence and hopes for us today as we worship. You know, over the 40-some years that I was in ministry, I sometimes grumbled about what felt like having to write a term paper each week. But it's also true that became a very important spiritual practice that allowed me to immerse myself into God's mystery and jewels. And I'm grateful for that. And it humbles me, even now, after all these years. Scripture continues to shape us and form us and call us into more. And I'm grateful. I have been intrigued, as perhaps you have been, at Molly's choice of this particular sermon series, Toward the Common Good. Now, that in and of itself isn't an especially new idea. We're both graduates of Claremont School of Theology, after all, and influenced by process thinking. But what is interesting and new to me is the Amplifier series of people and passions that add to our understanding of the common good. I hope that you have taken or will take the opportunity to explore the artwork found out by in the Narthex, as well as going online to the links that are in your e-news, which it's a great deep dive to go and explore some of those sites and people and what's going on. I was particularly intrigued by the inclusion of the artist known as Common in the series. While I was aware of him, felt myself drawn to him, I have to admit I didn't know much about him other than his co-writing and performing the incredible song Glory with John Legend for the film Selma. I want to share a few of the lyrics with you, which are so powerful, but with apologies to Common, I can't match his delivery. Selma's now for every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They marched with the torch. We're gonna run with it now. Never look back. We done gone hundreds of miles from dark roads, heroes to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal. A king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald eagle. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream, we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win the war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory, the coming of the Lord. My eyes have seen the glory. Glory. There was a man on the side of the road, says the compiler of Mark's gospel. Bartimaeus was his name. He couldn't see anything, but he had heard about Jesus. And when he heard from the position on the side of the road that it was Jesus, he called out, "Glory!" Jesus' disciples and the crowd tried to hush him up, as you so well participated in today. They told him to be quiet, and that only made Bartimaeus cry out even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Then Jesus said to the disciples, not to Bartimaeus, I might point out, "Call him here." So the crowd tells Bartimaeus that Jesus is calling him. Bartimaeus throws off his cloak, a point I want you to remember, and jumps up to Jesus, and Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus says, "I want to see again." Jesus says, "Go. Your faith has made you well." Bartimaeus could see, and then he followed Jesus. There are some aspects of this story that trouble me. Maybe you're wondering about some of those too. I mean, really, doesn't Jesus come off a little rude? And what about those disciples and the crowd? What is this? Contrast this with an earlier story in Mark about how Jesus healed a blind man who he engaged with, and he took mud and he touched his eyes. A tender moment, and he healed him. There was a sense of really seeing the blind man. This story, which comes later in Mark, is the last story before Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem, where, as we know, he was met with betrayal, torture, and death. Was Jesus getting weary? Was Jesus getting worn down by his followers who still really didn't get the implications of what it means, how to live when you're loving God? Disciples who were they themselves blind? It's no accident that in the telling of the story, Bartimaeus is on the side of the road. He is on the margins. He is an outcast, one to be easily ignored and neglected by anyone and everyone on the road. It was Bartimaeus who cried out. No one even noticed him or even asked about him. Bartimaeus was insistent that he would be seen, even if he couldn't see. Even though the devout followers of Jesus tried to shush him up, he cried out. At the very beckon of Jesus, he threw off his cloak and he went to him. Now, about that cloak, that may seem like a small detail to us, but I want you to know that a cloak was protection by day against the scorching heat and protection by night from those cold desert winds. It was protection of the most basic kind. Do you remember that rich young ruler earlier? That rich young ruler who couldn't possibly consider releasing his grip from his possessions in order to follow Jesus? Compare him to the one who was blind, the one who threw off his only protection from the elements in order to be in the presence of Jesus. To this one, after restoring his sight, Jesus said, "Go." But instead, Bartimaeus followed him. Do you wonder why, after Jesus' followers shushed him, after Jesus spoke to the crowd rather than to Bartimaeus, why, after all of that, did Bartimaeus follow him when Jesus said to go? What was the compiler of Mark's gospel trying to say to his community? What might this story be saying to us today? Perhaps they were getting weary. Perhaps they were losing their way. Mark's community was a generation after the death and resurrection of Jesus. Were they becoming callous to the needs and the hopes that were important to Jesus? Perhaps they were concerned with self-preservation. Perhaps they were just trying to hold on, hold it together as best they could, because things weren't happening the way they thought they should. Is this why they chose to ignore the blind man on the side of the road? Had they lost their capacity to care? There is a Hasidic tale that goes like this. A disciple asks the Rebbe, "Why does Torah tell us to place these words upon your hearts? Why does it not tell us to place these holy words in our hearts?" The Rebbe answers, "It is because, as we are, our hearts are closed, and we cannot place the holy words in our hearts. So we place them on top of our hearts. And there they stay until one day the heart breaks and the words fall in." Quaker teacher, activist, and author Parker J. Palmer tells this story in his book, On the Brink of Everything, Grace, Gravity, and Getting Old. I commend it. In sharing this Hasidic tale, he makes the point that the way we answer the question of suffering is critical, because violence is what happens when we don't know what else to do with our suffering. Palmer goes on to say this: "We do violence every time we violate the sanctity of the human self, our own or another person's. Sometimes we try to numb the pain of suffering in ways that dishonor our souls. We turn to noise, frenzy, nonstop work, and substance abuse as anesthetics that only deepen our suffering. Sometimes we visit violence upon others, as if causing them pain would mitigate our own. Racism, sexism, homophobia, and contempt for the poor are among the cruel outcomes of this demented strategy. Close quote. Then he says that the suffering of broken hearts can result in two ways. There are two ways to respond to our brokenness. One is the brittle heart that breaks into shards, shattering the one who suffers as it explodes, taking down others like a thrown grenade. The other response is the supple heart, the one that breaks open, not apart, the one that can grow into greater capacity for the many forms of love. Only the supple heart can hold suffering in a way that opens to new life. Close quote. We do have a choice in how we respond. Jesus' life and teachings cultivated care for the common good, what is good for all of God's children and creation. How do we respond? Jesus would have been shaped and formed by the Psalms, and the Psalm for today recognizes God as the source of all life, and that our response to a God of life is reverence, is awe, and dependence upon that source of life. Our response is gratitude and living in ways that honor God's gift of life. Therein is healing. Our response matters. How we respond to the world in which we live reflects either a brittle heart or a supple heart. How we respond to the world in which we live makes a difference in what kind of world we live in and what kind of world we help create. Our response matters. What I learned about the artist known as Common is that his Christian faith shapes his life and his response to the world. You can hear it in his music, in his lyrics. Also, he and his mother co-founded the Common Ground Foundation, which provides mentoring, hope, and possibilities for young people so that they can grow up believing in their own futures and become leaders. Growing up on the south side of Chicago, Common could have made other responses, but he chose to respond with a supple heart and provide hope and concrete pathways to young people. He also has this great YouTube series called Calm and Well, where he interviews people like a personal trainer, an urban farmer, a vegan chef, all these different people trying to showcase health and wellness in very concrete ways. I loved watching it. You ought to check it out. The call to prayer that follows my sermon is by Ken Medema, who from birth has been legally blind. And there are any number of ways that he could have responded to only being able to vaguely see shadows. He chose to bring healing to the world through his gift of music, through his supple heart. When he sings or speaks, and I have heard him sing and speak, he exudes a radiant joy. Jesus told Bartimaeus to go, and Bartimaeus followed Jesus into Jerusalem. We know what happened to Jesus in Jerusalem, but we don't know about Bartimaeus. What we do know is that he made a choice about how to respond. Perhaps to follow Jesus is to go. To follow Jesus is to go into the hard places and into the hurting places, the ignored and the marginalized places, and to listen to those voices and not shush them up. And to be a presence of the love of God that brings healing and hope. To go is to follow Jesus. What the compiler of Mark's gospel was conveying to the first century church is still what the church of the 21st century needs to hear. Don't give up. Do not lose heart, but let your heart hurt for God's precious world and peoples, and then go find the ways that bring healing and love as an individual and as a faith community. Throw off the cloak and go. One more set of lyrics from Common that I think gather all this up together in an amazing way, again with apologies. You can have all the money in your hands, all the possessions anyone can ever have, but it's all worthless treasure. True worth is only measured, not by what you got, but what you got in your heart. You can have everything. What does it? What does it mean? It all means nothing if you don't stand up for something. You can't just talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. Yes, you do. It all means nothing if you don't stand for something. And I stand up for you. And I stand up for you. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. You do the best that you can. Then you can look in the mirror, proud of who's looking back at you. Define the life you're living, not by what you take or what you're given. And if you bet on love, there's no way you'll ever lose. Take a stand. Make a stand for what is right. It's always worth the fight. Rise up. Love. Lift your hands. I stand with you because I understand. Ain't here to judge, just to take a stand. The greater plan's the Creator's plan. Let all rise like the day began. Reach out and touch with the Savior's hand. On rock we stand like this native land. Let the ways of love be the ways of man. Woo, glory! Let us resist any temptation to have a brittle heart, rather to nurture the supple heart, so that our response to the world's pain is healing love, born from our pain and genuine compassion. From that springs joy, just as the psalmist said, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in God."